Well, let's praise the Lord. Amen. I am honored to be celebrating your 122 years. You ought to give yourselves a great hand praise for it. There are a lot of enterprises and businesses that 100 years ago started out but don't exist now. But this old ship of Zion has landed many thousands. It's going to land many more. We give honor to God today. We give honor to your pastor, Dr. Jackson, Lady Jackson. Let's give them a wonderful... I want to encourage you. I bring you greetings from the New Creation Christian Fellowship in San Antonio, Texas, and my wife, Pastor Claudette Anderson Copeland. Some of you may know her. We bring you greetings, and we celebrate with you these 122 years. It's my understanding that in the month of October, we're going to be celebrating our pastor. Now, in the church I pastor, they kind of get excited when they talk about celebrating the pastor. So I'm going to try that again. In the month of October, we're going to be celebrating our pastor. I believe that your pastor is one of the most important persons in your life. Your pastor is the person that talks to God, who hears from God. And after he hears from God, he talks to God's people. And because of the word that comes through his heart and his mouth, many of us have endured, we have overcome, we have become who we are today because the word of God that is alive in our pastor enables us to survive and to go through all the things that life might bring us. So, just in case, if it was the president, it'd be all right. If it was the governor or it was the mayor, you might applaud. But for the man of God that's going to help you to get into glory, to have an eternal life, let's praise the Lord for our pastor. Amen. Amen. I don't know where I would be without the men and women of God who have spoken into my life, who have helped me to be who I am today. And sometimes we are trite with honoring whom honor is, ought to be given. And so we just thank God for him. For those of you who may not know, he is in part responsible for the first church that I pastored. While we were at Colgate, Dr. Theolius Belk coordinated various students going to Leroy Baptist Church to preach. And so I had an opportunity to preach once or twice at Leroy, and they were kind of interested in me, but Dr. Belk told me that they wouldn't want me as their pastor because I was Pentecostal. And said, you Pentecostal, they don't want you. And your pastor was scheduled to preach one Sunday, and it was a Saturday night, and he called me up and he said, "Now, Cole, I got to take care of this assignment. I'm not going to be able to get it done, so you go." And so I had a third opportunity to go to the church, and after that opportunity, they decided to give me a provisional Baptist ordination so that I could baptize and serve communion my Pentecostal self at a Baptist church. Little did they know that I grew up in a Baptist church, but we thank God for that. I am honored again, and I think you ought to be careful about secret weapons that you have here at Mount Olive. When Deaconess Merritt got up, she kind of looked like she wasn't going to make it up the steps. But when she opened it up her mouth, Lord God, today, oh, we are so thankful and grateful. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to hold hands with the person that is next to you. We're going to go to the Word of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we are thankful and grateful for the gifts and graces that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for 122 years. We thank you, Lord, for all the persons, the families, the homes, the people in this community that have been touched by this ministry. But today, Lord, I ask you to bless these hands that I hold. Touch my brother and my sister. Give us ears to hear, hearts to believe, the mind to receive, the will, the desire, and the grace to do your will. We pray, Lord, that these 122 years are just the beginning of greater things that you have in store for this church and for this community. Bless us, God, now we pray. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. Amen. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, it's a family affair. Want to draw your attention to Mark, the third chapter. Mark, the third chapter. And want to begin. Did you enjoy the rabbi today?
Yeah.
Amen. The Lord blessed me to be 82 years old. I hope I can be as articulate and alert as he is. Amen. Thank God. Mark 3:31. Then his brothers and his mother came. And standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him. And they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brother? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Would you turn your neighbor again and say, it's a family affair. Now, the ancient Jews were connected by blood. They were family. When they came together to worship, it was a family affair. It was a time to renew acquaintances and catch up on family news and to meet new members of the family. It was like a family reunion every time they gathered. And we in the church today, all of those who are redeemed under the blood of Jesus Christ, when we meet to worship, to fellowship, to pray, to eat like we're going to do in a few minutes, it is a family affair. let me just kind of, I don't know about you, but I woke up the other day and discovered that I was in a family that I did not choose. Nobody asked me. Nobody inquired if I wanted the mother that I had. Nobody even thought that my dad ought to be my dad. I mean, my brothers and my family. I don't know about you, but I woke up and found that I was a part of a family that I had nothing to say about. Jesus, family in this text, travels a great distance to this place, and they planned really to remove him from this scene. They came to take charge of him. They really came to get him, to bring him home for his own good. They came saying he's teaching and talking and doing all this stuff, and he's bringing the name of our family down, so let's go get him. They arrive in the midst of the crowd, and they pass word. They said, would you tell Jesus inside there to come on out here? We've come to get him. And he turns and he says, well, who are my mother and my brothers? He looks at those who are near and say, you are my brothers. And he says, whoever does the will of my Father, they are my brothers, sisters. They're my family. Now, I want to talk for just a few minutes about the ought of the family, the is of the family, and the can be of the family. But now, the ought of the family really deals with God's design for the family. James Weldon Johnson, in God's Trombones and in Creation, he says that one day God looked around and he said, I'm lonely still. I'm going to make me a man. He made man that he might create family. He said, let us make man after our own image and in our likeness. And so in the image of God, he made him man. Male and female made he them. One day he told, put Adam to sleep, and out of his side he brought forth the woman, and from there was the beginning of family, and it was out of that family design that God caused a covenant connection to be between a man and a woman, to provide a glimpse of what Christ's passionate devotion to his bride, the church, would be. The family ought to reflect God's character. The family ought to provide a safe place where we can experience the love of God. The family ought to be a place where we learn how to love one another. Jesus is born in the context of family. God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And one day the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we held him as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. So in our culture, we understand that God has a ought. He has an intention. He has a design for family. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our families were acting and being like God intended? Families ought to cover when the world turns against you. Family ought to forgive you when you make a mistake. Family ought to protect you from harm. And this text reveals that family ought to come and see about you. There is the ought of family. But then in reality, there is the is of family. The disappointments of family. The dysfunction of family. It's some kind of divine comedy where you wake up one day and said, I must have been born to the wrong folks. My wife and I, we were traveling and vacationing in Las Vegas a year or so ago, and we met a single mother who was from the north. Her husband was in jail. She was raising two wonderful kids, and she was telling us her story. She said that somebody in back home had died, so the children she had been raising in Las Vegas, they had to get and go up north to the funeral. And said that when the kids came back, they said, Mom, Are them people really a part of our family? Family affairs can be awkward and uncomfortable. They can be miserable. They can be a place where instead of having joy, you have pain. Instead of had gladness, you have sorrow. In the is of family, Cain murders Abel. Abraham casts Hagar and Ishmael into the desert. Isaac and Rebekah give birth to Jacob and Esau, who start fighting even for supremacy in their mother's womb. And it did not stop until Jacob had to run for his life. Overt favoritism, schisms, calculated deceptions, threats, trickery, cheating. What a dysfunctional family Isaac and Rebekah had created. So we ask, why would God include, if we were going to write the book, if we were writing our autobiography, there's certain folks we would really probably leave out of our story. So we ask, why would God include these embarrassing, dysfunctional moments in the life of family in the Word of God? Because the family, I submit, is central to God's master plan. Why, if modern families can be dysfunctional, the biblical families weren't any better. The Word of God is both ought and is of the family. And we live in a time with a lot of dysfunction. There's divorce rate is high. Folk now delay getting married because they don't want to take the risk of getting married and getting their heart broken and their life turned around. God provides the ought of family, but we live in the is of family. The text, friends and family, they misunderstood Jesus. They had a negative view of him and his ministry. It was hard for them to see his strength, and they were more concerned about him embarrassing them by his teachings. They did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was, and that never enabled them to realize the gift and the grace that he could bring to their life. I don't know about you, but some of us have had dreams and vision, and the people that you would hope to encourage you, because they had never seen it done before, because they had not experienced it before, because they didn't think that you had it in you to accomplish it. Sometimes the folk that should have encouraged you were the folk that discouraged you. Child, I don't know why you're going to try that. That ain't how we roll around here. They thought they really knew him. They thought they knew him because he grew up as a comforter's son. He grew up, and for many of them, some of the stuff that they had in their houses, he very well may have made. And so, because of their unbelief, they did not walk by faith, but rather they walked by sight. They were offended at him. They stumbled over him. They felt that he would scandalize them, so they could not explain him, so they rejected him. They could not explain Jesus, so in this particular text, they tried to rescue him. They could not see past him being a carpenter. Now, there's a term that we learned some time ago. It's called homeostasis. Homeostasis really means that if something or someone in the system wants to bring change, that the entire system does its best effort to bring it back to the way it was. Some of us have been challenged by homeostasis. We have tried to break out of a mold. We have tried to set new trends. We have tried to be what God has called us to be, but there have been forces that have been trying to say, get back in your place. So in Mark 3:21, Jesus' family thought that he was mad. His relatives said that they were concerned about Jesus' safety or for his reputation, and perhaps because he had frenzied an atmosphere that had been caused by his teaching. So let's, for a moment, if you don't mind, let's look at what it is that he teaches. The Lord is teaching us that ties of flesh and blood, mean little or nothing when it comes to your spiritual reality. Specifically, being a half-brother and sister in the flesh didn't make any difference to their spiritual condition. Being his brother or sister didn't matter in the spiritual realm. Blessings don't go to those in Jesus' natural family, but to those who believe and obey. Blessing result that gives us intimacy with God, that hearing and obeying his word is what gives us entrance into the kingdom of God. So you can be in the place of ears, but if you can hear and believe, you can move from ears to what can be. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when I was living in the land of ears that one day I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest, lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to, now that usually that's a place where folk that understand that say something. I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, worn, and sad, but I found in him, thank you for three people, and he has made me glad. One day Jesus was teaching. He was teaching. He said, now, if you're going to build your house, you ought to make sure you build it on a good foundation. And so for many of us, we try to find out what was that foundation. The foundation is hearing, believing, and doing the word of God. Pastor Jackson, I've discovered that we have in many churches, not in Mount Olive, but in many churches, people who love to hear the word, but they're not too quick on doing the word. They like to celebrate the word, but they don't necessarily want to walk out the word. So I found out that you can live in a family of ears, but if you want to get to a family of what can be, Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10 said you've got to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And therefore, if anyone be in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. In our church, we have a few foster parents who have chosen to adopt. Some of the children that they have adopted have come from what we would call dysfunctional families. They've come out of abusive families. They've come out of families that are full of neglect and who have injured and had a lot of problems. But the one thing that I appreciate about, for example, Sharon Lakey is she chose two little girls. She brought them out of dysfunction into a home of order and respect and possibility. Those girls who were about to be troubled and give trouble for the rest of their life, because she's brought order and structure into their lives, now they're getting A's and they're doing well in school and they're on their way to greatness, adoption. John 15, 16, the Lord says, "No longer will I call you servants, but I call you friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Now, I don't know if you understand choosing, but when I was younger and I used to play sports, we used to go to the park and we have to pick up teams. It was something to be on the sideline waiting for the guy to pick you. You wanted to play. You thought you could play. But if he didn't pick you, there was a certain sense of rejection that you had. But Jesus says, I chose you. And I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So Jesus legitimizes his followers when he says, I used to call you servant, but now because of the adoption, I will call you friend, and we will have an intimate relationship. So I don't know about you, but I thank God. I thank God. I thank God because being in a messy, embarrassing, dysfunctional family does not disqualify me from a deep, solid relationship with God. That wherever you came from, whatever stuff you were dealing with, whatever was dealing with you, you still qualify to be in what can be. If you squarely face your failures, if you deal with your embarrassing moments, if you confess even that dysfunction, turning away from it and turning towards God through Jesus Christ, everything can be changed. What an encouraging word is that God tells us it is like this. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, shined the light from heaven on my soul. He came to me in love and he wrote my name above. And okay, all right, I'm going to try. Now, if you are adopted, if you get adopted, which means somebody chose you, regardless to your mess, regardless of your problems, that he walked in the room, he saw you, and there was this connection, not based on what is, but what ought to be. And he says it can be better for you. It can be different for you. So I understand that once you get adopted, I want you to know there's some surprises when you're chosen. But the first surprise is that when you were yet a sinner, Scripture says when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before I even knew I needed a Savior, he took care of that. He died for me. The second surprise, it's some of us who think that, that some of us that are in the family of God, we would not have chosen. There's some folks that he chose that we'd have left out. There was this old mother in the church, and she knew about this young lady who had a lot of mess on her. And one Sunday they came to church, and while they were in church, this young lady, she was just praising God. She was singing songs. She was rejoicing. And the mother just couldn't get in service. She just couldn't get in service. And the young lady was weeping and crying and really rejoicing in God. And so after service, the old mother said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. Said, you need to talk to me? He said, yeah, I need to. I don't understand for the life of me how you going to let that, and whatever name she called her. I don't know how you're going to let that come in here and look like they worship and everything. And it's a shame. You need to do something about that. Pastor said, oh, mother, you mean to tell me you didn't enjoy church today because of her? She said, that's right. We need to have a standard in this church. He said, oh, mother. I'm sorry, you must have got here late. But she came here early before service, met me in my office, repented of all her sins, and she had a right to praise God because she'd been forgiven. I want to tell you something about being adopted and a great surprise. Paul says that once you get in Christ, We are one body in Christ. And being one body in Christ, we have several members, and each member supplies, jointly supplies. Well, my minister of music, her name is Renetha Macklin. Renetha Macklin, several years ago, had to start doing dialysis because she needed a kidney. She had looked, you know, she put her name on the list, and there was this countrywide search for a kidney. She had two or three of her family members that kind of qualified, but one of them, for example, didn't weigh enough, and the other one was taking some medication that wouldn't allow them to give the kidney up. But one day, while she's in service, we're all in service, my youth pastor, Steve Tucker, his wife looks at Steve, and Steve looks back at his wife and says, "Yeah, I know." So the next week, he goes to Renetha, and he says to Renetha, "Let's see if my kidney will match." Y'all. Steve takes the test, Renetha takes the test, and it's a perfect match. They go through all the procedures. They do all the testing. There's this exchange, and today, Renetha has Steve on the inside of her. It's funny because before they did this, there were certain things that Steve liked that she didn't like, and now the stuff that he likes, she likes. Y'all don't. It has become for them a family affair. That there's something about when you give your life to Jesus Christ. We who were dysfunctional and disconnected, that after Christ, there's a connection that we fit. We just fit. Now, I want to kind of say this, and then I'll maybe try to close. But I'm going to try to close. When we do communion, Pastor, when we talk about communion table, we believe that we at the communion table connect not just with the folks that are in our church and not just with the body of Christ that is present. We believe that we connect and have communion with the body of Christ that has gone on long before us. And in a mystical way, we believe we're having communion with the folks that are going to be a part of Christ in the future. Y'all. So as the rabbi said today, we got to be careful how you treat one another. Got to be careful. The scripture says, be careful how you entertain strangers, because you may be entertaining angels, your brother or sister, unaware. So when I think about this family affair, I think about the enemy wanted to keep us disconnected. The enemy wanted to keep us finding fault with each other. You're not as tall as I am. You're not as light as I am. You're not as dark as I am. You don't come from the same place I come from. You don't talk like I talk. You don't look like I look. But when we all get together, what a day of rejoicing that will be. You think it's a family reunion now. You think it's homecoming now. But one of these days, when we all get together. Now, many of us are familiar. There was this father who had two sons. And the one older son knew that he was going to get the double portion of the inheritance. The younger son one day comes to his father and he says, "Look here, I want to treat you as though you're dead, because I can't get my inheritance until you're dead. So he basically says, I wish you were dead. Give me what's coming to me now. Really, you give me my inheritance. I'm supposed to wait till you're dead, but you're not dead. So be dead to me. Give me what's coming to me. Very dysfunctional, very dysfunctional. The Bible says that he goes to a far country, separated from his father, separated from his brother, separated from the household. He goes to a far country, and there he spends his inheritance in crazy living. Don't know exactly what he did, but the Bible also says that at some point he lost it all. When he lost it all, he still had this thing called pride. And pride wouldn't let him go back to home, but pride drove him to a citizen of the far country. Pride drove him not only to the citizen of the far country, but pride also positioned him where he was sharing quarters with pigs. Looked up one morning and he was looking at the hind parts of a pig. The Bible then says, and when he remembered who he was, when he remembered his family, when he remembered his upbringing, when he remembered the teaching that had been given him, when he came to himself, then he said, I will. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to get up from here. I will arise. I'm going to move from the place that I am and go to the place where I belong. I will arise and go to my father. He's on his way coming home. And while he's coming home, he did not have the clothes that he left with. He did not smell like he did when he left. He did not look like he did when he left. But there was something in the father that saw his son. And instead of waiting for the son to get back home, the father leaves the porch and runs to him. Now, Tim Keller, in his book, he talks about the prodigal God. And he says, so what God does, God lavishes his love and grace on his son. The son comes and the son wants to confess. He wants to repent. He wants to say he's sorry. And the father says, you don't have to do that, but I've been waiting on you. While you've been gone, I've been feeding the calf. While you were gone, I told the tailor to make you another coat. While you were gone, I told the jeweler to fix you up another ring. Now, it's at that point that they're partying. And the thing that really messed me up was that the more I'm reading the book, I'm seeing myself not as the prodigal son, not as the father, but I'm the older brother. He didn't play by the same rules that I played by. He did not do the things. I did all the right stuff. I went the right places. I did all the right things. I got all the right credentials. And so I said, but Dad, you never threw a party for me. I wonder how many of us today don't understand that if you're a part of the family, everything that is given to the prodigal is already available to you. Okay, y'all. That you can be lost in the house. You don't have to go to the far country to be lost. You can be lost sitting right up in the house. God so loves each of us that regardless to what your is, your life can be a member adopted into the family. The Bible declares in John 1:14, and as many as received him, to them he gives right, power, and privilege to become or called the sons and daughters of God, as many as believe on his name. I want to submit to you that as you have come to Mount Olive for their 122nd anniversary, that you didn't just come to a family reunion. You didn't just come to meet old acquaintances and swap stories. But it's very possible that wherever you've been in your is state, he sent us by to tell you what you can be. You can be a new creature in Christ. You can come and be the head and not the tail. You can be above and not beneath. You can become a part of the beloved, and you can have a great change in your life. We used to sing that song, "Great Change in Me." Great change in me. I am so happy. Thank God I'm so free. Brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, great change in me. Are you here today and do you need to make a change? Do you need to come out of a state of what is to what can be, so that you can live up to what God said ought to be in your life? Are you married and not really content? Are you growing up but you're really not pleased with the way you're going? Are things in your life not as you want them to be, not as you really choose them to be? I want to offer you today Jesus Christ, because in him, if you live and if you move and if you have your being, life can be brand new. And just like those two adopted girls, or just like Renitha, God will put some new stuff in you. The things you used to do, you won't have to do anymore. Places you used to go, you won't have to go anymore. The way you see yourself, you won't have to see yourself anymore, because there'll be a great change in you. And you'll become a part of God's family. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Pray with you. I pray with me. God has something special. I believe that as you go into your 123rd year, that this can be a most exciting, most energizing, most enthusiastic body of people in this area, in this region, so that they'll want to become a part of the family affair that is going on here at Mount Olive. Would you join hands with the person that is beside you? Father, if you're here today, I want to talk to three people. I want to talk to three people. First person I want to talk to is the one that needs to be born again. To be born again is as easy as ABC. A, accept the fact that God loves you. Not because of anything you've done or haven't done. He loves you in spite of your isness, your past. God loves you, A. B, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. That if you would believe on him, you don't have to perish, but you can have everlasting life. C, confess. A, I admit that he loves me. I accept that he loved me. B, I believe this gospel. C, I confess my need for God. I've tried to do it without him. I've tried to do it on my own terms. But today, I confess, God, I need you. If that's you today and you want to give your life to Christ, squeeze that hand. I want to give my life to God. I accept him. I believe him. I'll confess him. The second person I want to talk to is one that has been disconnected by your own choices and your own will. You've strayed, you've wandered, you've drifted away from home. But today you want to come home. You want to get right with God. One writer said, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God. He'll show you how. Down at the cross where he shed his blood, get right, get right, get right with God. If that's you, I want to get reconnected. I want to start over again. I left the team. I took off the uniform. I'm no longer looking like I ought to look and acting like I want to act, that God wants me to act, but I want to come home. Squeeze that hand. I want to give my life back to God. I want to get back on track. Squeeze that hand. The third person I want to talk to, you are without a church family. You're without a church home. You're not connected to the body of Christ in a local situation. You don't have a pastor. You don't have a deacon. You don't have a teacher. You don't have someone that will walk with you and keep you encouraged and help you to be accountable. And you want to be a part of the church family, the body of Christ. This is a good church. You've got good leaders. If that's you and you want to become a part of the Mount Olive Church, I'm going to ask you now to squeeze that hand. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we have offered to your people that which you've given to us. And we pray, Lord, now in the name of Jesus for every heart that has been touched, every mind that has been altered, every will that has been changed. We thank you in advance for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you in advance for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, God, now in Jesus' name, for every squeezed hand, that you cause them to see and experience new life, new hope, and new joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Now listen, look at me, look at me, look at me. If someone squeezed your hand, if someone squeezed your hand because they want to give their life to Christ, they want to get reconnected, they want to renew themselves, or they know they need a church home. If someone squeezed your hand, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Someone squeezed my hand today. Someone squeezed my hand. There's there in the back. One, two, three. Anybody else? There, squeeze that hand. Squeeze that hand. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name now, I'm going to ask everybody to pray with me. Say, dear God, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for calling me out of darkness into your marvelous light. You have set me free from the power of sin, sickness, poverty, lack, and an early death. I now give my life to you. I gladly give my life to you. Lead me. Guide me. Show me the way. Help me to be everything you want me to be. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen.
You need me. We're all part of God.
You squeezed somebody's hand and you wanted to give your life to Christ, we invite you to come now. You've already confirmed it. We invite you to come and come forward that we may get your name, information about you. We're done. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, my dear. Is there another? Doors of the church are open. You wanted to be a part of the household of faith. Is there another? Is there another? God bless you. God bless you. Is there another? Doors of the church are open. God bless you, my dear. God bless you. Is there another? Doors of the church. Doors of the church are open. Is there another? Is there another?
We're all about
the church.
Stand with me.
Maybe. Maybe somebody, when the bishop was praying, maybe you were squeezing somebody's hand when he was talking about you wanted to give your life to Christ. And you know somebody was squeezing your hand when he was talking about being a part of a church. But maybe the person is just a little nervous to come down by themselves. Maybe you want to walk them down. Maybe you want to walk them down. Maybe you want to walk them down. If they were squeezing your hand because they were joining the church, they might be a little nervous. You might want to just walk them down. Doors of the church.
Oh, I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to serve out. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to serve out. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I won't call you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you.
Come on, I pray.
I pray for you.
You pray for me.
I love you.
I need
you. I won't call you with words from my mouth. I love you. Survive. You are